excited. It's the news, a show where I, someone whose most commonly misspelled word is and, explains the news. The quarantine comes for us all in its own way. But let's get into it. Let's start talking about the news, starting with the deep dive. It's cold as hell in Texas. If you've seen any news this week, you know that a deadly winter storm has hit Texas, leaving millions of people without electricity. Now, there's a lot to talk about here, from the reaction of local and not-so-local politicians to what this means for the future of the way that we power states and deal with increasing numbers of severe weather emergencies. But let's focus on this. What is the deal with the Texas power grid? That's right, it's my own damn show and we're talking power grids. Look, this is a weekly show and this story is still evolving. Understanding what's happening with the power grid matters, as you'll see, but please continue paying attention to what's happening in Texas. People are dying. They're running out of food, and on the off chance they even have water, it needs to be boiled before they can use it because the water could be bad. Not only are these power outages not done, but it sounds like another storm is on the way. So yeah, don't get distracted. Texas needs you. At the end of the show, I'll post some resources. If you want to scrub directly to that, it's that Be of Service timecode that you see right there. So let's get into it. There are three power grids in the lower 48. The Eastern Interconnection, the Western Interconnection, and Texas. The only state with its own grid. ERCOT, the Electric Reliability, Council of Texas, covers most of Texas with the exception of El Paso, the Upper Panhandle, and some of East Texas. Texas, who thinks they're so special and is so right, seriously, I love Texas so much, has actually been doing its own thing grid-wise for a while now. In 1935, when FDR signed the Federal Power Act, Texas was exempt because their power grid didn't cross state lines. Deregulation isn't just a fun bonus, it's the point. Originally, Texas used the Texas Interconnected System. However, after the November 1965 blackout in the Northeast, ERCOT was formed and tasked with managing grid reliability. Again, yikes. Cut to 34 years later, the year 1999. The song, I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys. The Kim, rocking those overalls. And the Texas electricity market deregulated. One of the goals for deregulating the market was to lower the cost of utilities, since it would have, in theory, broken up monopolies. Tricky though, because it's not like one power company was offering something to customers that another one wasn't. It's all just power, you know? Here's the thing about regulation. Without it, the state's overall power generation capacity hasn't been able to keep up with the growing demand, because everybody's moving to Texas. Looking at you, James Van Der Beek. In fact, the only reason Texas is able to avoid summer blackouts is because plant operators can actually seize high prices that come with the air conditioning. But in winter, plants actually go offline for maintenance. So it sort of feels like this was a problem hiding in plain sight. Or should I say, great plain sight. Because of the Great Plains. God, I love Texas. University of Houston energy economist Ed Hears noted that the state is highly vulnerable to a freeze, not only because half the plants are offline, but because they haven't invested in insulation or other cold water protections. This is just about the worst way to find out that your grid system is in trouble. If only, and hear me out, there was like some sort of regulation in place. In 2011, Texas lived through another winter storm, which also froze natural gas wells and knocked out power for millions of Texans. At that point, federal regulators warned Texas that it needs to better insulate its power plants. Obviously, it didn't, and that's something ERCOT will have to answer for, as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has said that the Energy and Commerce Committee will be looking into this. Now, as many have pointed out, yes, there would be a significant cost to the winterization that needs to happen. But a storm like this shouldn't have been that big of a surprise. Our climate is changing, and extreme weather is becoming more common. But, like, should it be? It's time to look at our grids nationwide and have a real look at what our future holds and how we can prevent disasters like this one. Also, Texas, look, I get that you want your own power grid, kind of a weird flex, but whatever, that's fine, but could you please consider regulating it, like, just a little bit? As there are in any emergency, there have been many bad takes and vacations made by politicians this week, including one by Rick Perry when he said this, "Texans would be without electricity for longer than 3 days to keep the federal government out of their business." Try not to let whatever the crisis of the day is take your eye off having a resilient grid that keeps America safe personally, economically, and strategically. Also, presented without comment, except for this one where I remind you the show is free, here's a picture of Ted Cruz on a flight to Cancun. We're still in a global pandemic, but sure, yeah, international travel. Why not? Now, in an interview with Sean Hannity, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said, quote, the Green New Deal would be a deadly deal for the United States of America. So, just to be clear, yes, there are wind turbines in Texas. Why wouldn't there be? And yes, those wind turbines have failed in this storm. But just about every source of energy, including natural gas and nuclear power, have failed during this storm. Did renewable sources fail? Sure. However, they only contributed to 13% of the outages. Coal, gas, and nuclear lost almost twice as many gigawatts of power because of the cold. So yes, let's have a conversation about energy sources, but let's have one that's rooted in reality. Blaming the Green New Deal when it's just like an idea isn't the best way to signal that you're ready to have a serious conversation. Because call it whatever you want, the climate is changing. Severe weather is well on its way to just being called weather, and we need to figure this out. It's 2021, and Texans are dying of carbon monoxide poisoning in their homes because they're just trying to keep themselves warm. Could we cut the bull for just like a second and try and save some lives here and prevent this from happening again? Now I'm all heated. No pun intended. How dare you? Let's move on to headlines. Citibank screwed up. Acting as the makeup company Revlon's loan agent, the bank meant to send around $8 million in interest to its lenders. Instead, it sent almost $900 million. While some companies have sent the money back, Citibank is still out $500 million. So since electronic transfers are so common these days, the law actually punishes people who spend money that was accidentally put into their account. However, New York has an exception called the discharge for value defense. Now, if someone is entitled to money and didn't know the transfer was an accident, it's theirs. Revlon's lenders say that they believe Citibank was writing prepayments for the loans, so they're keeping the money, which they can because a judge ruled in their favor. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Brigade and HPS Investment Partners get everything I want. The pandemic is making your hair fall out. So that's something. Google searches for hair loss in the last 8 to 12 months have increased to 829,000. So good to know you're not alone, I guess. Now, any type of stress can trigger hair loss, and it turns out living it through a pandemic is pretty stressful. So that's neat. In the last month, 9 California condor eggs have been laid at the Oregon Zoo Center for Wildlife Conservation, marking the largest amount seen in the center's 18-year history. In 1982, only 22 California condors remained. However, thanks largely in part to breeding in captivity, there were about 500 condors in the wild prior to last year's fires. The condors are still considered critically endangered, with the largest threat to them being lead poisoning, which occurs when the bird eats an animal shot by a lead bullet. Humans, doing our best while also doing not our best.